Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Barbara Grace Reynolds, and this is Get the Answers to Life's Questions, a show that was created so that you would have a place where you could get answers from your guidance instead of having to come up with the answers in your own head. Sometimes our heads just don't really know what it is that we need to know, whereas our guidance always knows what it is that we need to know. So if you have questions about your life that you would like answers from your guidance from, then give me a call. The number is 646-716-5045. That's 646-716-5045. And today the show is supposed to be about death and grief. And I suppose I chose that because there has been so much of that in my life lately. At least it feels that way. I suppose it really depends on who it is that dies, doesn't it? So all this has brought about me wanting to understand why someone's death has the profound effect that it has at times. Because you think about it, there are people who are dying right this second, and they're not really having an effect on you. But when it's someone who's close to you, someone in your family, someone that you've known for years, whatever, then it brings up all of those beliefs that we have about death and life. Like the belief in limitations. And we do have beliefs about limitations of life. We believe that we are going to die. You know, it's one of the things that we're taught all of our lives. You know, you can't avoid death and taxes. Therefore, you are going to die. And so we spend our whole life being afraid of dying, which actually keeps us from living. But it's just one of those lovely little beliefs that we have that's lying back there that we never really think about. And because of all the things going on in my life, I've been thinking about it. And I realized that I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live my life being afraid that it's going to end. It's not fun. So I've been changing my beliefs. So you might wonder, you know, what do these beliefs about death and how do they affect your life? Well, there are quite a few of them. You could have a belief that you don't have control in your life because death is going to happen. You never know when it's going to happen. It's just one day going to walk up, slap you in the face, and you're going to be dead. And that's really the way we are taught. We are taught that we don't have any control over this, that this is not something we have any input about. which isn't true. Because before we are born, we decide, you know, when we want to leave. So we are the ones who make the choice. Now I've read in, you know, different books and things that we choose three different points at which we can leave the planet. And I've even asked my guidance that, you know, what are my three points at which, you know, I might leave the planet? And they actually did give me three different ages, which surprised me. And one of them's already passed, so I've got more time. But I asked about my family members. One of the people I had asked about was my mother. And they gave me three ages for her, and the oldest age they gave me for her was 85. She was 88 when she died. So I guess even if we pick these ages, if something happens and we decide we want to stay around longer, then we can do that. So I guess it's that, you know, lovely contract we make before we are born, and it shows that we really can make changes to it. Saying that I knew for certain that my mother was going to die at 85, but that was when she had her first stroke, but she didn't die. And I can see there were things going on in her life at that time that she wanted to have more time. There were new members of my family that she loved dearly, and she wanted to spend time with them. So I can see where she would have decided that, no, not this year, you know. So we really do have choices. We have choices about everything, including death. Now, I know that that brings up a thousand and one questions, like people who die in all of these horrible, horrendous ways, and why on earth would they choose that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, we are each here to have life experiences, to learn lessons. And we each choose in every moment how we want to learn those lessons, what experiences we want to have. And that's one thing about these deaths in my family that really brought this home to me, that we really do create what we experience. If you really want to, you know, see this for yourself, then go to a funeral. I'm serious. Go to a funeral and you will see different reactions from different people. When I was at my sister's funeral, I was noticing other people's reactions. And it's not that I was sitting there, you know, at my sister's funeral, yawning, saying, when is this going to be over or anything like that. It's just that I was not so immersed in my own grief and loss and all that stuff that we're taught we're supposed to feel, that I couldn't see anything else. And I could see how it had different effects on different ones of her children. And she had several children. I could see that there were some unresolved issues with some of her kids. And the ones that felt that they hadn't resolved their issues were the ones taking it the hardest, because they felt that they couldn't resolve the issue. Now, why didn't I listen to my mother, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And the ones who had achieved somewhat a sense of peace with her were, they had an easier time of it. So if you have people in your life that you have issues with that you haven't resolved, then I would suggest that you resolve the issues. Because all of that stuff comes up when they die. And if you have all of these unresolved issues, then you're going to feel all of this guilt, blame, shame, remorse, you know, all of that stuff that we feel. Because we know that stuff is in us. And we just keep pushing it under the rug and telling it to go away. I'll deal with you someday. And when someone dies, it just the rug is thrown back and you have all of that stuff there. So deal with the stuff now. And you'll find that when someone dies, it's not as painful as we are taught that death is supposed to be. Because all of the things that you go through, all of the grief, that's all based on you. That's all based on your stuff. It's based on the fact that you never dealt with whatever it is that was there to be dealt with. I know that when I was told that my sister was dying, and it was about 2 weeks between the time that I was told and the time that she actually passed on, I spent some time having conversations with my sister, with her soul. I didn't actually go and physically see her, even though she was only 10 minutes away from me. I didn't want to watch her die. But I had conversations with her soul. And that was really wonderfully beneficial for me. And you can do that even after someone has passed on. So if you still have unresolved issues with someone who is dead, then have conversations soul to soul. I definitely recommend it. So in my conversations with my sister, I told her that I loved her. And I thanked her for who she had been in my life, the ways that she had enriched my life. And she still enriches my life. And I felt much better about the whole process. And I didn't have all of that stuff that I had never expressed because I went ahead and I said it. It makes a world of difference for you. It also makes a world of difference for the one that you're talking to, whether they're still in the physical or they transitioned. Whenever we, you know, it's like when you talk about the elephant in the room. When you have issues with someone and that issue is always right there and the issue is bigger and bigger and bigger until they say there's like an elephant in the room and you're stepping around that elephant. And if you go ahead and start talking about that elephant, you'll find that that elephant will generally shrink and disappear. And you don't have to live with the elephant in the room. It's basically the same thing whether the person is alive or dead. You don't need to keep the elephant in the room. So if you want to go into meditation and contact the souls of those who've departed and have conversations with them, then do that. If you have questions about, oh, why did you do this when I was 3 years old or whatever, ask. Get that understanding that you need so that you can be comfortable in your own skin and in your own life, that you can things that you want to do to make your life better. We get taught that when someone dies that that's it, that it's over, and everything that you didn't resolve is just going to stay unresolved, and maybe in the next lifetime you can resolve it if you're one of those people that believe in the next lifetime. Why not resolve it now? We really do hang on to a lot that we don't need to hang on to. We have a lot of old beliefs that are just churning around in our heads that we may not even be aware of, but that are causing a lot of discomfort in our own lives right now. So look at your life and your relationships, including the relationships with people who've died, passed over, transitioned, whatever terminology you want to use, and start cleaning up those relationships. And there's really no reason why you can't, whether the person is living or not. And you can do that, you know, going into meditation and having a conversation with the soul of someone who's living if you don't feel like you can actually talk to them in person. you can start resolving whatever it is without actually seeing them face to face or calling them on the phone. There's really no limit to our connect, so there's really no need to put it off. So if you want to just make a list of all the people that you need to have these resolution kind of conversations with, then do that. And spend time going into meditation, calling for their soul, asking them to come so that you can have a conversation with them. Letting them know that you're sorry, how you feel, what they did wrong, what you did wrong, whatever it is that you need to say. But saying it and getting it out so that you don't have to carry that around. Sometimes it feels like we have these huge bags of all this stuff that we just lug around all day long. And we don't have to do that. All of that unresolved crap, you can start resolving it. And you don't actually have to, you know, stand in front of somebody and say, well, that's because you did this. Because frankly, if you stand in front of them and say that, then you're just looking for a fight because you're accusing them of something and nobody wants to be accused and they're going to defend themselves. But it's not the accusation that you want. It's more of a releasing of the anger, of the regret, of the blame, of the shame, of whatever emotion it is that you are holding on to. Don't forget your emotions that you hang on to will eat away at you, literally and figuratively. One of the things that I've been looking at, you know, for that love your body and allow it to change, that class that I'm teaching is I've been looking at reasons why people put on extra weight, reasons why they can't seem to gain weight. You know, we have all of these issues with ourselves that affect us physically. So if you're overweight, there's the chance that you do it for projection. You think that if you're bigger, you're more protected, or if you're bigger, you're less attractive, which means that you're less likely to have someone try to do something to you. And this is particularly true for women, because we are shown in all of these movies and TV shows that all of these really attractive women are always being attacked and brutalized and raped and killed, and you don't see that happening to the overweight ones. So we take this information in, and without consciously thinking about it, we decide this means that if I have the extra weight, then I am protected. And so we put on the extra weight. Another reason why we carry around the extra weight is because we carry around other people's garbage. You know, you see someone in your family who's going through something and you're trying to save them and you're trying to take their burdens onto yourself. And so you pack a little on the chip, and, you know, and it all just becomes part of your baggage. Think about the things that you do, the things that you say, the things that you feel. Are you one of those people who is always trying to rescue everybody else? If so, you've got a bunch of their crap. And if you don't believe me, take off your clothes and stand in front of the mirror. It's really amazing the way we create our lives and then decide that we are not the ones who are actually doing it. We want to give the responsibility to the world, to God, to whomever, and not to ourselves. And it always comes back to us. So I'm reading this book called Money is My Friend by a man called Bill Laut. It's in the sleeve, his name is Laut. And so it's a book about eliminating your financial fears and taking the first steps to financial freedom. The thing I love about this book is that it really does talk about our fears. You know, what is it we're afraid of? And one of the fears that it talks about is death. And we do have this belief that our lives are limited, that death is going to come unexpectedly, that there's nothing we can do about it, there's no way you can be prepared for it, and it also means that the universe is out to get you. Now, these are not things that you may consciously think about, but take a minute and see how you feel. If I say the universe is not on your side, is there a part of you that says, yeah, that's true? I know we get taught over and over that, hey, the universe is this wonderful place and the universe loves you and blah, blah, blah. But we also get taught that the universe is out to get us, that it's hostile, that we have to protect ourselves. And so you've got these conflicting beliefs in you, which cause turmoil, because that's what happens. And you've got conflicting beliefs. So why not work to understand your beliefs and to release the ones that you no longer need, you no longer want, that aren't producing what you actually want in your life? And yeah, you do have the ability to do that. Each and every one of us has that ability. Not like God, you know, sectioned us off and said, okay, this group over here will have the ability to change their lives, and this group over here will just have to wallow in whatever it is that they've taken on to wallow in, because they're not allowed to change. Everybody changes. You cannot not change. Just impossible. So why not make the changes your choice? So that you're not just stuck with anything, because you're never stuck with anything unless you've decided that you are stuck. In which case, what you believe is your truth. We really do prove our beliefs. It's one of the ways that we keep from going crazy. Because if you believe something and you can't prove that belief, then you're always in conflict with yourself. And that'll drive you crazy. And so if you believe that all men are dogs, and that's just the first belief that popped into my head, I don't actually believe that, but then you will attract into your life men who are dogs, because you will be proving your belief. And if you don't believe me, look at the relationships you've had. Whatever it is you believe about the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever your inclination is, that is what you are going to see in your relationship. And take a minute and really think about that. Look at your relationship. It's not that you're this poor victim and, oh my gosh, the wrong men just keep coming to me and I just can't seem to get away from them. It's because you actually believe that that's what you're supposed to have, that that's what you deserve. We really do focus on what is wrong. And then we create that over and over and over and over. It really is your choice. It really is your belief. You really do have that kind of power. Well, this is just to give you something to think about. thinking about your life and what it is you really want. Thinking about your life and what it is you're actually creating in your life. Oh. Death makes us feel helpless. Because we don't feel that we have any power when it comes to death. Death happens, and there's nothing we can do about it. And when we feel helpless, we don't live in our own power. We're like a little kid, and so we're going to do whatever we need to do to keep death away. And some people really do live that way. You know, they do everything that they've ever heard is going to make you healthy, make you live longer. And they go through and they eat only the right foods, and they say only the right things, and they think only the right thoughts, and they, you know, they just live this kind of perfect life to show that they are not going to be attractive to death. Of course, that really has no effect whatsoever, because when it comes your time, and this is the time you established before you were born, when that time comes, you've already said, okay, when it's my time, come get me. So it really doesn't matter how healthy you are or aren't. That does affect the quality of your life. But being one of those people who is so regimented and so restricted by rules on what you can and cannot eat, what you can and cannot do, does not give you a higher quality of life than someone who has an issue with obesity. Being restricted does not improve your life. And that's one of the things that we're actually taught, though, that if we are restricted, if we always do what's right, if we always, you know, follow every single rule out there, that our lives will be so much better. And actually, it won't. So when you think about your life, when you think about who you are, who you want to be, notice what comes up for you. Notice your own fears. Because when you notice those fears, then you can start working on letting them go. You can start working on switching it around, changing it. Because we have these limitations, these restrictions, that we never even allow ourselves to be aware of. So who are you? I expect nothing, are you? Do you know who you are? Have you looked at who you are? If someone says, who are you, do you tell them, okay, this is my job, this is my family situation, this is where I live, my house, my car? Is that who you are? I mean, it's all kind of a reflection of who you are, but who are you? Really, who are you? One of the things that has come to me as a result of the deaths in my family is that I've looked at who I am being. In each moment, what I consider to be important, where do I put my priorities? And that's changed. Because I realized that a lot of things that I did out of habit. And habit is when you just do it and you don't consciously think about it. And so So now I'm looking at the things that I do to decide, is this really what I want to be doing? I'm looking at the people in my life and deciding, is this someone I really want to spend time with? And it's bringing up some interesting stuff for me. You know, I'm realizing that there were people in my life that I didn't really enjoy being with anymore. And it's because of the changes in them, the changes in me, you know, the changes in life. But I was still living in the habit of being around these people. It's changing now. And in some ways, my life is more open than it has ever been. Because I didn't realize how boxed in I was. So that's actually one of the benefits of death. It gives you a reason to look at yourself, at your life, and to decide really what is important. Whether or not you want to keep doing the same thing the same way and expect different results, which doesn't work, never has, never will. But hey, if you persist, and see, that's one of those conflicting things that we have, the one that says if you persist, then everything is going to be fine. And then there's that truth that if you keep doing the same thing in the same way but expecting different results, no matter how long you persist, you are going to get the same result. We have all of this information inside of us and all of the wisdom inside of us. And most of it we never even tap into. I guess that's why they say that we only use like 10% of our brain. Well, we actually do use all of it, but most of it is unconscious stuff that we aren't even aware of. But one of the things I found interesting about this book is that Phil Lout, I'm assuming I'm saying his name right, talks about a memory he has when he was in the hospital after his birth. And most people have no memory of any time before the age of 4 or 5. We actually get taught that it's normal not to remember that. But what if we are supposed to remember that? What if all of those things, all of those decisions, all of those thoughts that we created before the age of 5 are what is actually running our lives for the most part? So remembering those thoughts, those beliefs, would be so beneficial to us because then we could release the ones that are holding us back. I found that incredibly interesting because I'm one of those people that I don't remember a lot of my childhood. And, you know, when people talk about this or that when they were little and this happened or whatever, and I'm thinking, I don't really have all those memories about that time in my life. It was a good time in my life. I remember I enjoyed it. I had fun. I played, you know, and all of that. But I don't remember specific incidents. I don't remember things that upset me or made me really happy or any of that. I don't remember it, and I thought that that was normal. And now I realize it may be normal, but it's not necessary. So now I get to work on releasing the belief that I'm not supposed to remember. Wouldn't it be so interesting to remember? To remember even before you were born, when you were in your mother's womb, to remember that. That would be amazing. I'm going to work at that and see if I can remember. I'll let you guys know. Because it really will make it so much easier to change your life if you can actually remember the incidents, those first incidents. that started creating the beliefs that you have now during the MACE method. And that was really one of the things that it did. It would have you focus on a memory, where you were, who was there, what happened, and then let yourself resolve that issue. And you would always have a memory that had an issue, because that was what you were programming yourself to bring up. But it's an interesting process, and now I see that it doesn't have to be that same process that the MACE method, because now I use the faster EFT to resolve issues, and that is faster. But it's the same way of looking at what doesn't feel right within you, and then releasing that. Just like all of that grief that just didn't feel right within me. I just knew there had to be a better way. And I'm not even sure exactly what all I cleared out. But it did make a big difference. And I do feel so much more at peace and accepting of death. And I see that death is a choice. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And just saying that there's absolutely nothing wrong with death feels kind of weird, but it also feels right. Because I don't need to blame death. I don't need to blame anybody or anything. It is a choice. And that gives me more freedom. So letting go of those restrictions and those restraints that we have placed on our lives, it's really all about gaining our own freedom. It's really all about opening ourselves up to who we really are, to having a magnificent life, to living without those limitations. And freedom is a good thing. So in this book, and the book's name is Money is My Friend, and this book was written like 20, 30 years ago. Oh, actually, let me look at it. This book was written This book was written in 1978. So this is not a new book. God, I know people as old as this book. This book was written 2 years after I graduated from high school. So he talks about the unconscious death urge. And, of course, everything he's saying is in connection with money, but it really makes sense, so I'm going to read this part to you. Just as a person's idea about money are the cause of his experience of money, so are a person's ideas about death the cause of his experience about death. Many of us have been trained to believe in the inevitability of death. This training frequently results in an entire belief system about death. With the idea of life extension, rejuvenation, and immortalization philosophy becoming more popular, well, you can tell this was written in the 70s, can't you? This belief system can be challenged. The unconscious death urge is the name of the belief system about death. It is based on scarcity, lack, and limitations. Freeing yourself from its influence will increase your prosperity to no end. The essence of the unconscious death urge is helplessness and hopelessness surrounding the idea that you can't even earn the love that you want. And we really do have that belief. We think that we have to prove ourselves in order to be loved. that we have to prove ourselves in order to be deserving, that we have to prove ourselves in order to even have the right to live. And none of that is true. But when you live in that belief that you have to prove yourself, we very seldom have an idea of exactly what it is that determines when we've proved it. I mean, how do you prove that you're good enough? Think about that. How do you prove that you're good enough? We get taught that we have to prove, but we don't get taught how we know when we have achieved that goal. And that's true about so many of the things that we feel that we have to do. Like there are people who believe that they have to make all of these sacrifices to prove that they are worthy of living, but they have no idea of when they're going to reach that tipping point, when they've proved it, and they can go, oh, okay, I'm worthy of living now. They wouldn't even know how to be worthy of living because they're so sure that they're not and working so hard to prove that they are. You can see how we set ourselves up, and there's no way we can actually succeed because, for one thing, we have no idea of what it looks like to succeed. How do you know if you have succeeded? Look at the situations in your life, the things that you've been working so hard at for so long. Do you have an idea of exactly what it's going to look like when you achieve that goal? Or is it just that never-ending thing, and someday I'm going to get there, someday I'm going to do it, someday? How do you know when someday comes? So when you start clearing out those beliefs, those limitations that you put into place, yeah, you are the one that said, okay, I'm going to accept this one. When you start clearing that out, that really is the only way to have the freedom for whatever it is you want to have in your life, whether that be, you know, to let go of death or to have more money or to have the most wonderful, loving relationships possible, or whatever it is that you want to have. We've got to get away from those restrictions because we usually can't see anything except our restrictions. It's like when you were a little kid and you were told that you can't go swimming for an hour after you eat because if you do, you drown. And so after we ate, we would sit and play and look at the water, and you didn't want to do anything except swim because you were told that you couldn't swim. So the only thing that you were really focusing on was the fact that you wanted to swim. But you couldn't because that was the restriction. And that was the longest hour of your life. That's what we do. That's what we do with everything that we want, everything that we've told ourselves, I can't have this because. And it just makes that thing that you want over there, off in the distance. And you look at it longingly, but you can't have it because. And all of the becauses are right there in front of you. And you just look longingly at what it is you desire. But you can't have it because. Start working on those becauses. Start getting those becauses out of the way. Start releasing those beliefs. So instead of looking longingly at what it is you want, you can be in the middle of it and have it. And go, yeah, this is mine. The energy of that just feels so much better. So if you've had someone who has died in your life and you are feeling that grief, start letting it go. And I know that they say there are seven stages of grief and you have to go through the seven stages, blah, blah, blah. It's up to you. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. You really don't. In some ways, it's kind of amazing to me how I feel now. I mean, my sister's funeral wasn't even a week ago. This close to my mother's death, I couldn't talk. And, you know, I was overwhelmed with all of the grief. And I realize now that so much of that was because I didn't have the conversations with her. I didn't resolve the issues that I had been holding on to all of my life connected with my mother. I hadn't had those conversations. And I didn't do that with my sister. And I've since resolved some of the stuff with my mother since she passed on as well. And so the grief is gone. It's not an issue for me. Because it wasn't about their dying. It was about me not saying what I needed to say. And then that whole belief that once they died, I couldn't say it, so I'd have to hang on to it till I died. And I realized now that that's not true. I don't have to hang on to any of it. What about you? What is it that you're hanging on to? What is it that you're not saying? What is it that you're not telling the people in your life that is causing the turmoil and the dis-ease within you? And why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you saying it? Why aren't you letting it go? What needs to happen? What restraints and restrictions have you put around your own joy, your own ability to be free, to love your life, to breathe? Just some little things for you to look at. And I know some of those are little things that you don't look at. Because we're afraid of other things. This Friday show is, I think it's on using faster EFT, and I spent like 2 hours, and I'm going to help people to start to use faster EFT to let go of whatever it is they need to let go of, to work at getting all the way core of the issue and then releasing it so that they can actually change their lives. I love the class on loving your body and allowing it to change. And the way the people who have taken the class feel after each class, because we work on whatever it is that is important to be worked on for that class. But just to hear the difference in their voices, to feel the joy that they have, to have them say, oh, yeah, I really do love my body. It's just so phenomenal. I really do wonder sometimes why everybody doesn't release stuff. Because releasing stuff is so incredible, and it really does change things, and it's absolutely wonderful. And I don't know how people can not do it. Although I can look at times in my life when I just refused to do it. And I guess that's just part of what we've been taught, some of the fears that we've been given about change, about what will happen if we do change, and that whole responsibility thing. Because we're taught to avoid responsibility. You want to run from responsibility. Responsibility is a very heavy and ugly thing, and it's not. But that's what we're taught. Because so often we're taught that we are responsible for somebody else or something, and we're not. But we're taught that we are. You know, it's like when you're a little kid and you've got a younger sibling and you're taught that you are responsible for them. Make sure that they don't get into trouble, that they don't run into the street, that they don't get hurt. And you are the one responsible. If anything happens to them, you get punished. That is just so wrong for us to teach our children. Oh, my goodness. There's a huge difference between providing guidance, being a mentor, and being a scapegoat. Which one would you rather be? Because that other person does get to make their own decisions. Doesn't mean that you should let all of the two-year-olds run across the street whenever they want to. You can grab their little hands and talk to them as much as they can understand and help them to see that that's not a good choice. And sometimes that does involve picking them up and carrying them back to the sidewalk. But it doesn't mean that you have to take on their responsibility. We really have so many people that are just kind of lost, because they've never been responsible for themselves. They've always expected somebody else to save them, somebody else to take care of them, somebody else to do it for them. And they're just kind of lost because they don't know, they don't recognize their own power. They don't know who they really are. It's really not the kind of world we want to create. But that's the kind of world that we have to a large extent. Stop letting other people be in control of you. Start recognizing what it is that you believe. Start letting go of the things that you believe that don't work in your life. By standing in your own power. And even if it makes you terribly, terribly afraid, do it anyway. Because you find that the more you do it, the less you fear it. But when you're standing on the sidelines just looking at it totally overwhelmed with fear, it doesn't change or it gets bigger. But once you start doing it, it starts. It's really manageable. You may be totally amazed at how easy change can be. And sometimes I am totally amazed at how easy it is to change. I can look at myself and how I've reacted to things over the last week or so, and people, other people, and what they're going through, and seeing all of the grief in my family. And, you know, if someone wants to come to me and talk about it or ask me how they can let it go, then that's fine. I'll work with them. But if they don't ask, I'm not going to do whatever it is that they feel they need to do. And there was a time when I wouldn't have been able to do that, when I would have had to gather them together and say, okay, we're going to work on this, even if they didn't want to work on it. And that wasn't about love. That was about control. But I've grown past that, thank goodness. And I let people handle their own stuff. And if they want my help, I'll help them. But if they don't want my help, then why on earth should I make anybody accept something they don't want? It's just totally ludicrous. I can see that it's totally ludicrous now. But there was a time in my life when I couldn't see that. So look at your life. Look at what you believe. Look at what you feel. Look at what you want to create. Look at what you want to release. And the more you let it go, the better things get. And I'm not talking about, you know, letting go of a belief and suddenly the next day you become a multimillionaire, although that is possible, but I haven't had that happen to me yet, so I'm not going to say it would happen with you.